Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. I am Garth Nelson, and with me is...
Jen Barr.
How's it going?
Good. That was my impression of me on Mahjong Fight Club number 7, which came out last month.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Very nice. I thought you were imitating the way your name gets pronounced on the World Series of Mahjong videos.
Oh, yeah.
Jen Barr.
Pretty good, though.
Yes. Well, yeah. Not bad, not bad. This is the podcast for the website ReachMahjong.com, which Jen and I and our third partner in crime, Gemma, run together. Have you jonged this week?
Yeah. I played lots of Fight Club this week.
Very nice.
Champions League on Monday.
Okay, Japanese lesson for today. Choshi wa dou desu ka? Choshi wa?
Dame.
How are you doing? How's your condition?
Yeah.
Not good, huh?
Not great. I mean, well, league was really... Oh, I guess we'll talk about that in the next section. But other than that, not horrible. Not great. Just chugging
along.
Yes. Yeah, just getting my hours in kind of thing.
I have the same problem. I've had a pretty crappy week on Fight Club, except for... actually, this version of Fight Club, we get to play more Sama than we used to. We used to only be able to play 10 games of Sama. Now we can play...
Three-player Mahjong for...
Yeah, oh, yes, that's right. Three-player Mahjong.
Or Sama. I guess we can use both terms.
Yes.
That's no problem.
Now we can play 30% of our games can be...
Which is what we were kind of fighting for the whole time, right?
Yes. So, and it's fun.
That's our suggestion from
because
the beginning.
For a donkey like me, that game doesn't require any defense at all. That game is perfect for me. I'm just going for it every single hand. And so I had fun today because, man, playing the half games, I was getting my ass kicked. But then I played Sama and I won 2 straight tournaments. Blam! Look at me go.
Way to go.
Yes, I rock twice. I rock twice.
Yeah, you're a title holder. That
yes.
was me.
You saw it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll vouch for you.
Yes, as long as I got a voucher.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get right into the news. What is happening in the world of Mahjong even as we speak? Well, this last week we had the World Series of Mahjong qualifier, the very first in Japan ever for the World Series of Mahjong and its rule set. How did it go?
It went good. It went good. The field was not huge, but everyone seemed to have a good time.
Yeah. And they seem to pick up the rules pretty quickly.
Yeah. There are some people that have been practicing the whole time, and some people just learned them that day, in 30 minutes before it started. And I think one of the guys that just learned it that day actually made it to the final table
right.
even.
Pretty impressive performance. Yeah, I think the field that we did have there was, in general, a pretty experienced Mahjong field.
Yeah.
So I guess
good on him for getting to the...
But yeah, it shouldn't come as too large a surprise, I guess, that everybody was able to pick up the rules pretty quickly. Because it seems like, I think the people there were, in general, pretty experienced Mahjong players. And it's true, like, some of them had a little bit of difficulty, like, thinking in Reach Mahjong. If you can get to reach and peace and simples, then you've got a pretty good start on a good hand.
Yeah.
Of course, it's totally different you don't want to say totally different, but that's a pretty good big hand in Reach Mahjong, and then in the World Series rules, it's actually a surprisingly small hand.
Right.
And even if you were to put something else in it, like a double run. All right, then you've got another 5 points. It's still a pretty minor hand. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I think the double run is 10 points.
Oh, right. That's what I meant.
That's all.
Oh, okay. But yes, so it took people maybe a few games to get used to the strategy, even after, getting used to the rules. But the people figured out how to put together some big hands, and we had some really big ones.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the tournament was Chiba Masato.
Yeah, Masato Chiba. To all you guys in Europe, you should know who he is. I think he won a tournament in Osaka before with the Chinese official rules.
Huh.
He was part of the team winners in Denmark last year.
Uh-huh.
And I think that his team won another time. I can't quite remember. And he was also at the Reach tournament this year in Germany.
Uh-huh.
That we also attended. And I think he has a name for himself in the international market. And I think that he'll do really good. And he's really excited to be Japan's representative at the World Series. And I think it's going to be a a good situation.
I have to say, standing behind people watching the way everybody played this weekend, he is pretty darn impressive. I mean, besides the fact that, you know, the basic stuff, you know, putting together a hand, all right, everybody can do that. But, man, can that guy read the table.
Yeah, he's really good at reading hands.
I cannot believe how much he knows about what's in everybody's hands, just by what else is on the table.
And that's something he mentioned, actually, that this is only the second day that he played with these rules, and he did mention that he was having a little bit of trouble reading people's hands when it comes so easily to him in Japanese and Chinese official mahjong.
Right. It was funny that, there was one hand that he threw. He had a pretty successful day all day of not throwing sort of big hands. And one of our amateur players or recreational players, Masaki, got a, what would you call it, a small three wins hand off of him. And he was really disappointed in himself for throwing that hand. He said, you know, how could I think that the West tile was safe in that situation? What was I thinking? I knew he had three Easts already in his hand. How did he know that? I don't understand. So he threw that tile first, and he was berating himself for having thrown the East tile, which he knew was safe, before he threw the West tile, which he was thinking was probably safe. And he was saying, yeah, my order of throwing there was totally off. I don't know why I did that. That was really dumb. And then, you know, you kind of want to agree with him. Yeah, that was really dumb. I don't know why you did that, you idiot. As you go off and just trounce the rest of the field for the rest of the tournament. But, man, he had some big hands, and he pretty much just rolled his way right through the tournament the whole time. There was a little bit of a scare for him in the right before the end of the semifinal round. Mm-hmm. He was kind of below the rest of the field, but then, sure enough, on the very last hand of that game, Masaki...
Yeah, he came back with a big one, and right. he had to win that big one.
Yeah. That was the one time where he was in a little bit of trouble all weekend, or all day. And Masaki also had a big hand there, but he also had to go for it because he was also right around where Miss Chiba was. But as it turns out, Masaki drew Chiba's winning tile instead of drawing his winning tile. And, of course, he ended up throwing the flush winner.
Congratulations to Masato Chiba.
Yes, way to go, Masato Chiba. What were you going to say about MahjongNews.com?
There's some good stories, and we always like to give MahjongNews.com some support, run by Martin Rep, our buddy over in the Netherlands. Runs a lot of the European tournaments there, I'm sure you all know. And so I just took a couple of stories, and I'm just going to go over them briefly, and I'd like you to go to mahjongnews.com and read the rest of them.
All right.
We have an article about Yu Xiaoping, who was the second runner-up last year at the World Series of Mahjong.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She's...
I didn't realize she was that.
Yeah, she's in the media, and she is cute. She is really cute, and she's really positive, and, you know, there's really no reason not to love her. She is great.
This is the girl that was also in Europe?
No, she was not in Europe. That is Songping.
Songping, I'm sorry.
This is Yu. Her personal name is Yu, and her family name is Xiaoping.
All right.
It looks like. She's from Taiwan, and she is doing the endorsement for the Remy Taiwan Mahjong Tour, which is doing all the qualifiers in Taiwan for the World Series. And she has something mentioned in here that I want to go, you know, talk with you about a little bit after our news section is over. She said that she hopes to make Mahjong an Olympic sport.
And you don't want to address that, no?
Let's go over it after the news, because I think it's just something...
We'll go back to that, yeah.
But you should read this article about her. She has some hints for people going into mahjong tournaments. And some of it is a little bit Chinese culture, and it's a fun article. And I think you should read that one. Also, China got its own mahjong museum in Chengdu. So go ahead on mahjongnews.com to check out all of the details about that. The cool part about that is the floor in the museum is made of mahjong tiles. Big ones is really cool. The picture is really cool. It'd be fun to go see that. So go check out that article. And also that Gucci presents the Olympic design mahjong set for $3,115 US. Or 50, sorry, US dollars.
Wow. So Gucci is actually planning on the Mahjong getting into the Olympics?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but there's another thing on MahjongNews.com that showed the Mahjong tile version of the Olympic rings. You know, there's things like that. So it's just that's known as... Because China, I think, made it its official pastime.
Huh.
And so they made this set. And I don't know if this set is special. I'm sure the flowers are special.
Huh.
But other than that, basically,
it's... What makes it Gucci?
The case says right. Beijing 2008. So that's pretty exciting.
Very nice.
So if you have $3,000 to spare after signing up for the World Series of Mahjong... with us. Also, if you sign up for that on reachmahjong.com, then at register.reachmahjong.com, then we will give you a free players package.
Yes,
it's pretty exciting. So after you sign up for that, if you still have $3,000 to spare, go and buy this Gucci set, and you can find those details at mahjongnews.com.
Very nice, very nice. All right, let's move into the league wrap-up, and it's always the final session of the, is this the Winter League or is this the Spring League? I guess it's
spring,
the Spring
summer,
League, right?
Yeah.
Spring Summer League.
Yeah.
Final session of the Spring Summer League in A1. We'll start at the top just because, you know, those people think they're more important than everybody else. In A1, Mochizuki is still holding on to first place, even though he had a minor minus. Farther down, in sixth place, you've got Fujiwara. I'm always impressed how that guy... You know, I am more and more impressed with Fujiwara all the time. Just because, you know, it never seems like he's actually trying to win any hands. And yet, that guy stays in A1. And he wins. He wins enough to stay up there in the top league. He seems to know something. Also in A1, Maehara, last year's at least winner of the league session, is down in seventh place. And Arasan is in ninth place. He had a small minus... some of those guys have got to start turning it around or they're in danger of falling out of A1 into A2. Speaking of A2, Ito Yuko has moved down from the first spot after, what is that guy's name? Araishi? Somebody probably pretty good whose name I do not know how to read. Had a big day, plus 70, to take over first place in A2. Sawazaki also had a minor minus, but still keeps him in third place behind Ito-san. Takizawa is in seventh place after an okay plus day. In ninth place, we have Yamai-san, who was on our same table in Champions League. We'll get to Champions League a little bit later. Katsumata was, had a good plus day, plus 44, to move himself into positive and... but at least get himself out of the danger zone for the moment in A2. And Dump-san, or Ohashi, had a small minus, but he's still out of danger for the moment for moving down into B1. Speaking of B1, of course we'll be speaking of each one as we go along, right? At the very top of B1 at the end of the session is Nikaido Aki. She kicked ass. More than twice as many points as the runner-up, which was Mita-san. Aki had 238. And
I think she must be the best woman in the league.
And certainly right now, you'd have to say.
At least getting there. And she just gets better and better.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. Everybody says she's already good, and she's getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I remember one of the guys that we hang out with a lot the other day, he's like, you know, I watched Aki a couple weeks ago for the first time. I thought she's really good.
Uh-huh.
Like, he didn't have, you know, I think he thought that she was all right, but he never, like... I won't say who it is, but he never had a huge, you know, respect for her game specifically.
Uh-huh.
But recently he said he watched her and she's just amazing.
She's surpassed his previous expectations.
Yeah.
Well done, Aki. So congratulations to Aki for moving into A2. Not the first woman to move into A2, but the first one in a while.
Right.
And she'll be the only one in A2 at the beginning of next season.
I mean, it's definitely less than five, right? It's like one or two or three people that have done that before.
Two or three people have gotten that high before. Kondo-san, our buddy Kondo, who helped us run the World Series of Mahjong practice sessions and also played in last week's tournament, he had a small minus to finish just a little bit under minus, but in seventh place, so no danger of him moving down. EY Kenta had another small minus, but he's holds on to his V1 status. Our new buddy Sarukawa also had a small minus, but it was not enough to push him all the way down to the danger zone. So that he will also stay in B1 through the rest of this season.
So he was the winner of Masters, right?
Right.
He also was at the final table in OE last year. He's also made it to the top, at least the top eight at the 10-tier tournament.
So
and we didn't talk to him before ever because he actually just moved here from Shizuoka.
Oh, I see.
We found out.
And yeah, he's kind of quiet unless you start. Once you start talking to him, then he's just a bunch of, you know, he's full of talk. But until you actually get him to you engage him in a little bit of conversation, he can be a little bit quiet.
Right. So if you want to avoid conversation with him, don't initiate.
Yeah. But if you're ready to drink a beer, then you're gonna have to listen to a lot of conversation.
Yeah. It was all fun though. He was a funny guy. And yes. He sure thought you were a funny guy.
Yes, and woe to the other Nikaido. Nikaido Rumi has had a terrible day, terrible session to round out this league with minus 90 to put her at the very bottom, and she will be moving down to B2 for the beginning of this season. In B2, good old Sasaki Hisato. He's going to be moving up to B1. Same old luck box strategy he uses all the time. I'm sure worked out well for him in B2. So, yes, he will be in B1 next season, and that'll give him a chance to move into the A League also, as two players will be moving into the A2 League from next week's or from next season's B1. And another player of note in those are all the players of note in B2. Not too many people to note in B2. Let's see. Oh, I'm going the wrong direction. Moving into C1, we had. Oops. Where are all my pages? C1. A couple of the names that we follow in C1. If I could find that forking page. In 13th place, we had Kurosawa Saki. She didn't do anything really spectacular except for her first session there, so she pretty much stayed in the middle of the field. She'll be continuing in C1 next season. Yuki Michi finished at the top of C2 League, so she'll be moving into C1. You may have remembered us mentioning her as the winner of Pro Queen.
No.
The women's league.
I think we should go ahead and see like how many podcasts we can get
this
in
one, yes.
Where you can mention that she won.
So yes,
Pro Queen.
She was the winner of the women's league.
Yeah, the first year of the women's league, and there is a exclusive pro interview on our website with her.
Of her, yes. So congratulations to her for winning the C2 league. A little farther down in 18th place was Kozue Miyauchi, who we also end up playing with a lot, but she won't be moving up or down. In the league in C3, our buddy Kami Murda, who also helped us with the World Series of Mahjong stuff, he finished in third place in C3, and so he'll be moving up into League C2. Izumi and Ikue squeaked out some okay finishes at the end to hold on to their C3 status.
And we also have an interview coming up with Yukiko Izumi on the website this month.
Right. This month.
Two-part
interview this month and next month.
No, I think it'll be twice this month.
Oh, really?
I think it'll be this week and the last week of August.
Oh, yes. That's what I meant.
I know.
Let's see. Getting into D1. 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 If I were D1, where? There I am. D1. The league you've all been waiting for, because it's the league that, you know, the most important people in Japan Professional Mahjong League belong in, except they don't belong in that league anymore. Starting towards the top of the league, Ogawa. Man, that guy pulled an amazing finish, plus 99 in the last league session, to not only pull himself out of the negative range in normal league play, but most importantly, because he is out of the negative range, that means he gets to count his finish in the special league, which he was killing the field in, and in fact, that's finished, right? He won Yes, I think it finished last week.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, during the Champions League.
Right.
Yeah, it would have.
And so because he won the Special League, he moves up into B2. Not only does he win lots of money there, but he moves into B2 as winner of the Special League right out of D1. From D1 up to B2. Way to go, Ogawa.
Wouldn't it be great if we took advantage of that opportunity?
Well, some of us had to go surfing. Whoops. Farther down, I happen to be at the same table as Nozaki, who started the day 50 points below me, but finished with a positive 85, which put him a little bit ahead of my plus 38 for the day, which put him out of the danger zone and dropped me into the falling out of D2 range. He got a Mangan, 8,000 point hand on the very last hand. He drew it himself. I happened to be a dealer, so of course I paid 4,000. He got the 8,000. That's a big 12,000 point swing there, or 12 points as the scoring here goes.
Right.
And that was the difference between me not staying in D2 and me would have having been stayed in D2.
Alright, well, let's move on.
Yes, speaking of not staying in D2, there's somebody else here that I think...
You can check out that on our new forums if you press the West button, the West Wind button on the front of our homepage. You get to the new forums, and I'm sure there's something written there about who moved down to D2 from D1, and maybe you can just go check it out there.
Yeah, some of us are a little more embarrassed about moving down to D2 than others. But
There are some problems with the forums still, but we are going to have an entire site revamp with the forums worked into it, so you will have a place to talk about all things Mahjong, especially Reach, on our site.
Yes, you can start smack-talking about how the people who run your website have dropped down to D1.
Also, they had the Pro Queen tournament, and they're down to the final 16, I believe, and 11 of those are from the JPML. Pro Queen is a tournament that all female professionals may play in, and 11 of the remaining 16 are from JPML, including Yukiko Izumi, and Ikue Watanabe, and Saki Kurosawa, sorry. And
there you go, then.
So let's cheer them on. And you can read Yukiko Izumi's interview once again this month on our site.
Also in Champions League, we have a lot of the same names that we talk about quite a bit of the time. Having moved, we finished the preliminary rounds of Champions League, so the top 15 players will move on to the final round of 16, the Champions round. In those 15 players, plus the person who won last year, let's see, some of those names. Ogao, who we just mentioned, had a big final day to push himself into that select group of 15. Sawazaki-san is also in there. Sasaki Hisato is in that group. He took 8th out of the field of, I think there were about 100 people in this league session. And in 9th place, Miyauchi Kozue. Way to go, Kozue. Oh, and also Ohashi, finishing in 12th place. So we'll see. It will be interesting to see who managed to pull out a win in Champions League.
Didn't someone from our website make it in the top 15 one time?
Yes, somebody did, and then they were actually in pretty good shape to make it into the final 8. Or he was, yes, not just him. And then some jerk-off, was already ready with a Mangan hand on the 6th draw. The nerve of some people. And here I was already... And I was actually trying to play it safe, and I just happened to... Or no, that guy, not me, of course, but some other guy. But yes.
Yeah. No respect.
No respect for us poor foreigners. Give us a little help. All right, so that's news of the Mahjong world. That brings us to our topic for today. How to play... your game-playing strategy topic. Today's topic is playing your own hand.
Yes.
So let's see. We talk sometimes... One of the things in Reach Mahjong that everybody talks about is being, you know, very important...
It's defense.
Defense, yes. Yeah. And, of course, defense is very important. But...
And it's you know, in Reach, it's a very unique type of strategy because a lot of the Mahjong rules, you know, call for all non-winners to pay out, and Reach doesn't, which is why defense comes into play a lot more.
Right. The reward for not throwing somebody's winner is quite a bit greater in Reach Mahjong, because if you don't throw somebody's winner, well, then you don't have to pay. Unless right. they draw it, then you have to pay a little bit. But, you know, the penalty is quite a bit larger in other rule sets, which means that in other rule sets, you might as well just be going for it all the time.
Right.
Because, you know, even if you don't throw the winner, you're still going to have to pay. In Reach Mahjong, defense is quite a bit more important, but it's not going to make one whit of difference if you don't know how to put your hand together.
Exactly.
So actually, as much as we talk about defense being an important part of Reach Mahjong, the first thing you got to focus on is how to put your own hand together. So let's see, as far as what you need to do about putting your hand together, what's the first thing you would do? First thing you would do when you look at your hand at the beginning?
So the first thing you're gonna do is look at your hand and find out what's the fastest way to get this hand ready.
Okay.
So you got to know, you know, what tiles you need to get it ready. What's the fastest way?
What tiles you don't need. So you,
yeah,
you count the tiles that you would throw away because you don't need them. And
right.
Then, okay.
So you got to know how many sets you already have, how many groups you already have, and how many, you know, you're going to have to make.
So you look at your fastest route to ready.
Right.
Okay.
And you also want to look at your most ideal ready hand.
The most expensive hand you could make from...
Right, the most expensive,
conceivably from that group of tiles that you're
starting
with. Exactly.
So you want to look at that, you want to see...
Wow.
Can you all please put your phones on vibrate while you're listening to our podcast?
Yes. Just so you know, that's the Fight Club music from 2 years ago.
You're such a dork.
What a nerd.
You paid for that, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, because you're already paying monthly for your service.
Oh, maybe I did pay for it. What a nerd.
I'm paying for it, too, and I don't even download it. So, wasting
yes.
my... Yeah, okay.
So, you look at your hand and you want to evaluate the fastest way to ready and the most expensive hand that you can put together with those tiles.
Right.
And sort of compare the two. Which are you thinking of going for?
Right.
All right.
So, I mean, in general, you're going to want to start heading towards the more expensive one while keeping your hand a little bit flexible in case. Because usually when you get to the more expensive hands, then there's going to be more specific tiles that you need.
All right.
And sometimes those are going to come out. And so you're going to have to change what you're going for, change to a faster route. Or you're going to notice that somebody else is, you know, close to getting ready. The thing is, you're not going to use a lot of hand reading skills, but when you're looking at your own hand, you will have to watch the board to see which of your necessary tiles are out.
Yes. So, despite the fact that you're not playing defense by, you're not trying to play defense yet by reading other people's tiles, you still need to pay attention to what tiles are coming out on the board. So,
right.
For example, if you had the 3 and 5 of dots, and there are already four of dots on the board, then your 3 and 5 of dots are probably not going to be quite so useful, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to see, you know, other people pawning and chowing and, you know, getting their hands close to ready. And some of those are going to be really obvious, and in that case, it's going to be harder to go for the expensive hands. But you're still not, you know, trying to not throw to their hand. But you need to still keep an eye on the board to know what to do with your hand,
right,
going for the win still.
Another thing you need to be prepared for, I think you sort of touched on this, is how to adapt your hand. So, like, for example, if you see that your 3 and 5 are not so useful anymore, then what areas can you move to, you know, from that 3 and 5? Or perhaps, you know, I mean, if you are going to start playing defense, all right, are the 3 and 5 something you can throw safely to get rid of? Or is this a hand that you're still going to try to win? Or is it something that you should probably just give up at this point because you have nothing to put together anyway?
Right.
And one other thing about adapting, you know, if you have, let's say, 2 east tiles in your hand, and there's already one on the board, and then somebody leeches, those 2 east tiles are probably safe. And another way for you to possibly change your hand to something you can still win with is to throw those east tiles and maybe start going for a all simples hand,
right,
or perhaps a piece hand.
And it's not always necessary to fold.
Right.
So you can throw those east tiles and still be going for it.
Right. You don't have to think of yourself as throwing the game just because you're throwing a pair that's in your hand. It's tiles that you can throw safely now so that you can continue building your hand with the stuff that is still coming. Let's see. Any other ideas about playing your own hand?
Well, I would think that, you know, it's kind of a... If you're used to folding hands, it's a really hard concept. The thing about Mahjong is you want to see as many hands as possible.
Uh-huh.
You want to get a lot of practice in. So I would say, you know, go on Ronron. You can find out Ron 2, Ronron. You can find out how to sign up on, you know, reachmahjong.com. We have the English tutorial, and we meet once a week to play and go over hands. I would say get on there, play, you know, just play over and over. And for a certain amount of time, let's say 10 or 15 games, just do not fold a single hand. Just go for it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, you'll be so, if you've been folding a lot lately and you haven't been winning very much, I think that you'll have some big losses, but you'll have some really big wins too. And and it's an important part of the experience to become a really good player.
On that line of just going for it, I saw an interesting, one of the comics that I like to read in Mahjong. Mahjong Current, Mahjong Times. Anyway, the comic book for Mahjong in Japan. One of the things that the guy said in there was, you know, he's looking at his hand, and after three draws, or maybe three or four draws, one of his opponents has reached. But he's looking at his hand, and actually, it doesn't even have one full group in it yet. But it does have good possibilities as a, because it has two dora, and it has a bunch of tiles towards the edges, so he can, and some pairs. So he's thinking, you know, I could get this to a seven pairs hand, or maybe I could even get it to a mixed outside hand. I'm still pretty far away, but if you're looking at a hand that you think is a hand that you can win, after the third draw, if you've decided that it's a hand that you can win, you should just put your head down and go for it.
Yeah, once you've decided, you know, you really need to just...
Yeah, don't start trying to, like, all right, I'm going to be the best Mahjong player in the world here and read everybody's hands, and while I put together the most expensive hand, I'm going to be totally reading everybody's hands and not throw the other stuff. It's just not possible.
Right.
If you're putting together a big hand, you've got to work on putting together your big hand and just go for it. And, you know, if it's in the, it's not in the cards because that would be poker. If it's in the tiles, you're going to make it. And if it's not, well, you just weren't going to make it anyway. So either you're going to lose or you're going to lose or you're going to win or you're going to win. So you might as well just be going for it a lot of times. All right. So that's putting together.
Once you get better, then you'll start, you know, you'll look at more ways to fold. But if this is even an experiment that I go back and do, you know, from time to time. Like, all right, this game, I'm not going to fold once. And
just going for it every time.
Yeah, it's important to try lots of different things. That's the thing. And you got to come up with your own style and your own strategy. And I think that's a good way to go about it.
All right. So today's advice, play your own hand.
Right. Can we go back to the...
Oh, that's right. Okay, yes. So, in conclusion for this week, one of our little discussion topics will be something that was brought up on MahjongNews.com.
Yeah, well, it's an article about Yu Xiaoping.
Okay. She suggested that Mahjong be a part of the Olympics.
Yes, and this is not, you know, her original idea. It's something that's been played around with before, especially a lot of people were expecting it because it was in China this year.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't go for it.
Yeah. We were going to have like a little you know, a devil's advocate argument here, except that both of us are sort of on the same side here. But let's see. Can you think of any good points for why Mahjong should be a part of the Olympics?
Well, a lot of people say, you know, for me, the Olympics is a sporting event. And when I think of sports, and we also had this discussion today, but when I think of sports, I think of physical labor. Mm. Sports, you know, like you're running or you're flipping.
Something that involves a lot of physical activity, strenuous physical activity.
Right, and the thing with mahjong, poker, chess, all these are mind games, and so you know, they're people say they're brain sports.
Right,
and I won't argue with that, but I don't think that they belong in the Olympic.
Mm. An interesting aside to that, by the way, is you would be amazed at the amount of weight that chess players lose during tournaments and matches that they play, like championship matches. It is actually physically strenuous to sit and think that strenuously for a really long period of time. But still, I have to say, I'm really on your side of the argument here. It's the lack of actual physical activity really does not, to my mind, make it a sport. I don't see how you could really justify Mahjong being a viable sport in the Olympics, unless you were going to put foosball in there too, because I am pretty damn good at foosball.
I would say that out of most of those sports, backgammon and stuff, Mahjong has probably the most physical activity out of all of them.
Right, actually,
altogether, the way you're drawing and the you have to reach across the table and we had some jokes like if there should be a side event of wall-building speed.
Yes.
We should have wall-building time trials if it's going to be an Olympic sport.
Right. And, and of course, cheating practice, freestyle cheating event also.
Then you get into judges, and it's going to be a mess. I think we should just avoid it. I really appreciate the fact that there's a World Series of Mahjong now.
Right.
I really appreciate the fact that there's going to be, a lot of big Mahjong tournaments coming up. I really appreciate the fact that EMA is hosting a lot of tournaments and that, we have a lot of international fields, but I just don't agree with the Olympic aspect of
it. I think it's, Mahjong certainly deserves its own events, but as part of the Olympics, I don't quite see it in that sphere. Okay, and that about wraps up.
I do love Yu Xiaoping.
Oh, yes.
So this is nothing against her opinion.
Yes.
If she's gonna, she's gonna go for it and she gets it, and then she invites me to come play with her, then I'll probably go.
Yes, and wouldn't it be nice to have an Olympic gold medal? Because I don't think I'm going to be getting it in any other sports.
That is
at this
probably
point.
Our best shot.
Yeah. Okay, so that about wraps up our topics for this month's ReachMahjong.com podcast. Things that are coming up. There is the World Series of Mahjong, the whole tournament, coming up next month. And between then and now, we will also be having a qualifier for the Reach event at the end of this month. So if anybody happens to be in Japan...
It is by invitation only, so send us an email.
Yes, we do need to know that you are coming. So let us know. It's not like we're trying to be exclusive here. We just need to know and get a handle on the numbers.
And we're also not going to put out announcements about it. So heard it here exclusively on the Reach Mahjong podcast. So send us an email. We'll give you the secret details.
Right.
And you'll be welcome.
Be very,
to come.
Very careful because it's a big secret. Right. So, but yes, please come and play if you are around. And let's see. I think that's about it. Yes.
Yep. You can reach us at reachmahjong.com.
Yes, my mailing address there is Garthe at reachmahjong.com. And yours is?
You can get me at Jenn at reachmahjong.com. Please send us any news items, things you want to hear on the podcast. We also had our meetup last weekend, Jem and Garth. We're second and first, respectively, there. Come and beat them, because they should not win.
Yes. We definitely shouldn't. At least one of us shouldn't, given the performance in the league sense. And so, yes, we look forward to seeing you at the meetups and posting your comments and whatever on the website, reachmahjong.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Catch you later.